Hi, this is Jerry Reese. You are listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Have fun.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. A place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 88 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, I'm going to cover a little bit of news, something that just actually came out today. And also on top of that, Jennifer is just back from Disneyland. So we'll be talking with Jennifer all about her trip to Disneyland. I personally have never been to Disneyland, so this is all going to be good information for me for that future trip. So I'll be asking her some questions just kind of in general. And Sam's about to go to Disney, to Disneyland. So he'll be asking probably a little more pointed questions, kind of about the 60th anniversary and things that are going on right now. So with all that being said, tonight we have Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm excited to be back.
We're excited to have you back. And Sam?
Jimmy, what's up? Jen, great to have you back.
Sam, we're excited for you to go to Disneyland.
I am
that
too.
Is.
It seems so close but so far away. So,
what's your timeline?
We're going in mid-July, so I have about 30 days.
Okay.
But Jen, you're just back. Is that good or is that bad? I mean, you're back.
You know?
That's good. But
it's good. Like, it's good. It wasn't as magical a trip as some of our Walt Disney World trips are. It was certainly some amazing things we saw and did, and I can't wait to share some of those. But it was enough. I feel like it ended well, and now we're home, and that's okay, too.
I am very excited to talk about it. Like I said, I've never been, I have friends who've gone. My mother's gone. And I understand you have to go with a different set of expectations. You can't go expecting Walt Disney World because you'll probably be disappointed. But then I've also heard that some of the things that are done there, especially some of the things that are duplicated, are actually done a little bit better on the West Coast than in Disney World.
I think you're exactly right, Jimmy. Like, it's honestly not even I don't know. I think some people have gone and have been disappointed. I think, like you said, if you have that mindset of,
and maybe it's just the scope, not necessarily the experience, but the scope is so different.
Well, the scope, and I'll tell you the other thing, and I think we might have mentioned this a bit, but it's been a while. So the absence of the Disney bubble is definitely a huge difference. If you go, if you're familiar with going to Walt Disney World, they don't have, newspapers and everything just is, if you stay on property, you escape the real world completely. And in Disneyland, it's just not like that. You're in like a super magical version of a theme park anywhere. So I think you have to realize that. You have to realize you're going to Anaheim and Disneyland is also there, even if you stay on property. And I have to, you have to realize obviously that it's smaller in scope, but.
Okay. Before we get too deep into your trip, and I'm very excited to get into the trip, they did have some a new announcement today. I'm getting the information from DisneyDining.com. Which they've actually credited to. The Wall Street Journal has released exclusive details of Epcot's new Frozen ride. First, the ride, they gave it a name. It'll be called...
What? There's a Frozen ride coming to Epcot?
Believe it or not. There's this great movie called Frozen. Yeah. So the ride will be called Frozen Ever After, and it'll feature Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, Olaf, and even the little Snowgies. Imagineers at the company's headquarters in California gave Speakeasy a first look at the attraction, which will replace the 27-year-old Maelstrom ride at the Norway Pavilion in Epcot next year. The tour came courtesy of Imagineering creative executive Kathy Mangum, Anybody that's a Disney fan is probably familiar with Kathy Mangum. She's like in every travel special that comes on the Travel Channel, basically. She oversees the Walt Disney World Resort. She showed off storyboards of the attraction and a virtual tour in a room called The Dish that utilizes 3D images projected on the wall, ceiling, and floor to simulate a ride before it's built.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Also, Sam, I'm wondering if this virtual tour, the room that's Dish that uses this, is that somewhat similar to the Marvel experience we talked with Jerry Reese about last week?
You have to wonder. That technology's there.
That's that same type of technology.
Yeah.
I would think it's got to be some, you know, some spinoff of it.
There's, you think of the possibilities and it's incredible, right? There's some images of this Frozen attraction at the Disney Parks blog. There's a little write-up about it. They sort of mention, you know, the Ice Palace and the Ice Blue World of the North Mountains. It looks pretty interesting. Now, so, when I look at the picture, and you're probably thinking the same thing I am, there's concept art or part of this virtual world that shows a boat going through Arendelle and the Ice Palace, and it looks like it's right in the middle of the epic scene for Let It Go. And the boat looks exactly like the Maelstrom boats, doesn't it?
So Kathy Mangum went on, and she basically said that the new show is a celebration of characters and a way for guests who love the film to experience it in a completely different way. Maelstrom's been gutted and currently getting a whole new overlay with Frozen.
Nice.
While the logs and the path will remain the same,
nice.
Everything you see along the way will be replaced. The setting for Frozen Ever After is a winter festival that takes place in summer when residents of Arendelle apparently celebrate their favorite season of the year in the midst of its polar opposite. The ride will be 4 minutes long and visitors will walk by Wandering Oaken's trading post while in line.
Okay.
Once they board their logs, Frozen Ever After riders will see goofy snowman Olaf and equally goofy reindeer Sven setting up the winter festival premise.
Nice.
That's a cool setting. That's really neat.
Yep. So
it's summer.
It's given a little more behind the. So I'll just continue to just kind of.
Yeah, go ahead.
Behind a set of doors is a moment any visitor is sure to be waiting for. Elsa on a balcony singing Let It Go in her ice castle. I'm sure Ed's excited about that part. is the centerpiece of the ride. The big scene, Miss Mangum says, and it features elaborate effects to create simulated snow crystals soaring around the room. The audio animatronic characters will be cutting edge. Miss Mangum said, using a new technology that includes projectors behind the faces to enable a more lifelike animation in what was first used in a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that opened in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom last year.
Yeah, it goes back to Buzz Lightyear, but okay.
Well, it does, and it also says that you can read more. There's an article. The complete article is in the Wall Street Journal, if any of you guys want to know more about it.
So, Jimmy, let me ask you this. When's it going to be open? Does it say anything about
time frame? It doesn't say anything about time frame, but I can tell you, I posted this to my – I always share stuff like this to the Disney Nerds group, the Disney Nerds podcast page. But a lot of times, you know, I've also posted to my personal
church.
And the reactions are so much different when I post stuff to the group compared to when I post it to my personal page. And I think it's because – you know, and we may have talked about this before, but I think just as complete Disney nerds and big, huge Disney fans, a lot of us get a little fed up with the whole Frozen thing. But when I posted on my personal page and the people on there who might be thinking about a trip either this year or next year when it opens, or people that are just planning to go, you know, this year, they don't see it the same way. They're not inundated with all the information and all the stuff that we are. So we're, you know, we get a little biased. But for the family who only goes once every year, once every 2 years, they don't see it the same way. That most of them are pretty excited about it. So I have heard some people say, oh, well, it doesn't represent Norway. You know, all I can say to that is the Walt Disney Company approached the country of Norway and, you know, really wanted them to reinvest back into the pavilion. And they turned them down. So,
and they also went to Norway. I understand that it's Arendelle and it's not Norway, but they went to Norway extensively to do research on the film. It's sure. Not like they went to, you know, sub-Saharan Africa and now they're sticking this in Norway. Like, it's a pretty appropriate fit.
Well, it is. And, you know, but again, the country of Norway had an opportunity. Sure.
From what I understand, for years, multiple opportunities.
Multiple opportunities to reinvest back in this pavilion. And some people would say, well, you know, why is it there? Well, I don't remember the exact number Lynn Testa quoted when he was on the show, but when Epcot first opened up and when the Norway Pavilion first opened up, their tourism went up like 400%. Yeah. So you invest in that. You have, you know, I'm sure they have some type of, you know, chamber of commerce or something like that that invests in things like that to drive tourism. Tourism is a big deal. So they had the opportunity. So they said no. So Disney's going to put something in there that they can promote and get a return off of it. Sure. And promoting Frozen and its products is going to generate a return. So, you know, good for them.
I agree.
So then here's what you basically told us. We know the attraction will be called Frozen Ever After. It's going to use the same track and similar boats to Maelstrom. Is there anything in that press release or the news that you're reading about the new building?
No,
or are they still not talking about it?
And you missed one point that we know is true.
What's that?
That Ed is going to be a huge fan.
Absolutely. There's no date.
There's no date. Next. Not that I see. So, with all that being said, Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks.
How was Paradise Pier? As your travel agent, I must ask first, how was Paradise Pier?
Well, the view that you hooked us up with was absolutely beautiful. I know I posted a picture some places, and I can post that again in the Disney Nerds group or page, but we looked over California Adventure, right over the Paradise Pier section of California Adventure, which includes the iconic Mickey's Fun Wheel and sort of the side view of World of Color every night. It was very, very cool. It was very loud. World of Color felt like it was playing in our room half the time, but that was kind of cool. Just something to note. The rooms were nice. I heard some people say that the theming of Paradise Pier, who have been to the different, you know, Walt Disney World and Disneyland resorts, was lacking. But we walked in and felt like it was very Disney. You're greeted with like a big Surf's Up Goofy statue. And, you know, there's, of course, subtle and not so subtle Mickeys. And they have the viewing areas like they do, you know, the cartoon viewing areas for check-in. And I felt like we were very at home there, very at home in a Disney resort. So the resort was great. We had dinner at the PCH Grill. It wasn't a character meal or anything. We had dinner there. It was very nice. And
That's in Paradise Pier?
It is. And they have a Surf's Up Mickey and Friends breakfast in the morning that's very popular. Dinner was like a ghost town because, I mean, it's basically in Disneyland, you're in walking distance of everything. But we were very much in walking distance of the Grand Californian and Downtown Disney. I mean, Downtown Disney was maybe a 6-minute walk at tops with little kids behind us. So there's so many more restaurants to choose from without much of a theme or character interaction. The dinner there wasn't like highly sought after, but it was really good and, reasonably priced, just sort of basic food. But
I think maybe I'm wrong, but I think some people may, talking about the theming, and maybe people think that is maybe under themed.
I think maybe, but I don't mind that at all.
Well, but let me say this, is that maybe that opinion is coming from people who may have stayed at maybe an all-star resort or a Pop Century that is completely over-the-top themed.
Yeah.
But even in Walt Disney World, once you get away from the values, to the moderates, there's a little less theming, and then to the deluxes, even a little bit less theming probably.
Well, I would say it was themed somewhere between a value and a moderate. Certainly it was not, like you said, over-themed, like with the giant icons and kind of the style of the values. It was not like that. But if you go, I mean, it was obviously very beach themed. I mean, that was just the theme. And I think that's the other reason Californians don't really like California Adventure either, because it's not themed. Although to the rest of us, it's very well themed. So
we're not from California, right? It represents California.
Yeah, it was kind of generically beach themed. But if you look at that, if you look at Caribbean Beach or Beach Club at Walt Disney World, Paradise Pier is far more overtly themed than those two. So
sure.
I thought it was really nicely done. I liked it a lot. So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and the pool was outside. They say it's a rooftop pool. It's a rooftop of the third floor, even though it's a 15-story building. But you can see.
Okay, see, you can't see that on Google Maps. It just looks like it's on the roof.
I know, right? No, it's on the roof of the third floor. But you can see, and they pipe in the Disneyland fireworks, because again, as we talked about in another show, we overlook California Adventure, but that also means out the other window down the end of the hall, you can see the Matterhorn and you can see a lot of Disneyland, and not necessarily like into the parks, like a park view per se, but you certainly can see the fireworks and the things that rise kind of above the sight line some. So
a theme park view room at Paradise Pier is going to overlook California Adventure.
Yeah, and the Paradise Pier section.
Which I don't, I don't think I would care.
No, honestly, I mean.
So everybody knows Paradise Pier. But that's where World of Color is at Paradise Pier in California Adventure.
Let me ask you this. And you can break it down per 10%. What percentage of the time do you think your blinds, like the shades, were just open when you guys were in the room? Just so
we closed them when the kids were sleeping. That's it.
Like other than that,
that's it.
You want to see? Yeah. Okay, that's awesome, because that's the answer I would want.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful, and it was so close. I mean, it wasn't. If you have a theme park view at Bay Lake Tower or the Contemporary, you're off in the distance, not too distant, but sort of in the distance is Space Mountain and Cinderella Castle. And
sure.
California Adventure is across the street. So Mickey's Fun Wheel was across the street from our window. I mean, it was obviously lower and a little farther away, but there's nothing in between us and that
view. No, that's ridiculous. So I mean, if you're going to pay for that type of room, that's what you want, right? That's it. Yeah. So
the only thing that we could see between us and the park were palm trees, which isn't a bad thing.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. Awesome.
So that's good.
So, Jen, last time you were there, we talked on the show, you stayed at a Good Neighbor resort.
Yes.
This time you stayed at Paradise Pier, which is one of the three Disneyland resorts. Mm-hmm. How would you compare the difference?
Well, as I mentioned, there's definitely not the Disney bubble. So you're not paying for that at all. You're definitely just paying for...
Even at Paradise Pier.
Even at the Grand California, which is in like the park lines of California Adventure. So you're not in the Disney bubble. Like, you have to walk, outside to get other places, and the park is relatively small. So you're not, I mean, you don't stay on there the whole time, and you see the rest of Anaheim all over the place. So now when you're in the parks, the sight lines are pretty well obscured, but outside of them, you can see the rest of Anaheim and mountains and stuff. So it's not a bad thing. It's not necessarily a complaint. It's just different. But as far as, okay, so our location was probably about the same. We stayed at the Fairfield Inn on Harbor Drive. The Good Neighbor hotels are mostly on Harbor and Catella, the ones worth looking at. There are some that are like 6 miles away, but I don't know about that. So I think that's
You want to be able to walk. If you're staying at Disneyland, you want to be able to walk to the gates.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the walking distance from the Fairfield Inn on Harbor and the Paradise Pier Hotel, about the same. I mean, honestly, people say the Paradise Pier is farther. It's not necessarily farther. It might be, a couple hundred feet farther. The thing that was cooler is your walk is a lot cooler. You're not walking down Harbor with sunglass salesmen and $4 buffets and a bunch of other hotels. You're instead walking through the Grand Californian lobby into downtown Disney, maybe even getting on the monorail to ride over to Tomorrowland. So the walk is definitely a little more Disney bubble-ish, if that makes sense. Like, you feel like you're on property the whole time.
Sure. All right. I got a question.
Yeah.
Since you brought up the monorail, same monorail as Walt Disney World?
Oh my gosh, no. They've got the brand new fancy schmancy. It's not even that new. Like, I don't remember what show it was. Our predictions for this year, I think. And I said, we talked about 10 years overdue just based on trends. Like, I think they got replaced every 20 years and we're at like 28 years with our mark whatever. No, they look so much cooler. And they're the same ones that they had 2.5 years ago. So, but they're still way cooler than ours. And they have windows that open so they don't smell bad.
Not that Walt Disney World smells bad, but you know. When you're in Southern California and the windows are open, it's cool.
Well, Disney World, I think those monorail cars, some of them get pretty musty.
Oh, yeah. The other thing, since we're talking about the monorail, and this is important for people who keep their kids asleep and go to the monorail specifically because you can roll your sleeping child in his stroller onto the monorail, you can't at Disneyland. So that big open space where you can stand and hold onto the poles at Walt Disney World is filled with like sideways facing benches. So there's which is cool because there's more seating and you can sit and ride and look out the window instead of out to the sides. But
I know, but I've very rarely had to stand up on in Disney World on a monorail. Well, is it just more utilized?
I think so, because it's a ride in Tomorrowland and it's also pretty much the only other park transportation.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, it's really, and I think they might have just fewer trains in general, which makes sense because it's a much smaller path, but
right.
It was pretty neat, actually. It's just thankfully, Kyle actually remembered at one point and he said, you know what? I think I have to fold the stroller. We can't roll it on here. So, but I can imagine there are so many times at Walt Disney World when we're like, well, we have to take a boat or the monorail because we're not waking him up, you know, like not waking our kids up. So
right.
For someone planning with young kids, it's certainly different.
You're there and you're expecting to be able to just roll your stroller. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you can't.
And then they open the door and you're like, oh, crap.
You can, however, and we did not have a chance because we only rode the monorail like once or twice. You can ride in the front still.
Ooh.
Which is really cool. Yeah, Sam, definitely when you're there, ask. Same as it used to be at Walt Disney World. When you get up to the platform, ask. They'll tell you to wait in the front. And I think it holds like 5 or 6 people still.
Nice.
Very cool.
Great tip. Thank you.
I missed that.
I know. That was so much fun. My kids actually were like, my older girls were like, wouldn't it be so cool if you could ride up front with the driver? I'm like, yep. Actually, you could have. And you guys did when you were little, but you don't remember.
Yeah, you just don't remember, darn it.
Yeah.
So, Jen, extra magic, morning magic, whatever they call it. Did you have access to that? How did that work?
Yes. So morning magic, magic mornings, whatever, is anybody who has a 3 or more day ticket, hopper or not. So this is your good neighbor hotels, your off-property people. Anybody who has a multi-day ticket has access to one magic morning. So it's kind of like it's not physically this, but it's like a punch ticket. Like you have one choice during your stay to go during the magic hours. They are the same days. So at Disneyland Park, it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And at California Adventure, it's the other days, as far as I remember currently. It's the same days as the on-property guests. The on-property guests, it's called extra magic hours, and you have access to them every day. So there's no limit to those. But it is the same. It's 1 hour early in the morning, no evening extra magic hours. So 1 hour early at the specified park and at the on-property hotels, by every door is like, today's extra magic hour is 7 a.m. at Disneyland Park. Tomorrow's extra magic hour is 8 a.m. at California Adventure. So there's no, you know, question about it. But if you're on property, you can go to the one park that has the 1 hour extra magic hour. So
you can go any day that it's that park.
Yeah. So we went every day except for our last one when we doubled up on Disneyland.
So last time I was there, if I remember right, at Disneyland, you could get in early, but only if you had the extra magic. They like had Main Street sort of roped off, so you could go on the left-hand side and get access to the park or go into the shops on the right-hand side and sort of stay back until rope drop.
Even without extra magic hours?
Even without. That's how it was a few years ago. I don't know if that's still the case.
So currently you can get into the train station just like at Walt Disney World. Like you can get into that train station area through the turnstiles, which don't exist at Walt Disney World anymore, but they definitely exist.
But you still had queues. It. So what? No, you didn't use your magic band to get in, Jen?
Huh? No. And actually, oh my gosh, can I tell you how much you're going to miss the magic band for purchases? You know, I don't love FastPass Plus, and we'll get to the fast passes, which were awesome. But man, especially as a pass holder, with every single purchase, every meal, every snack, every purchase, I had to get out my like Ohio ID, my park ticket, my credit card, and my annual pass. Like 4 things I had to keep track of 20 times a day to make purchases. I'm like, oh my gosh, I miss the magic band so much just for this. So it was rough.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was such a pain.
You're like, it's so rough.
I'm like,
struggle is real.
Is this what we had to do before, is actually carry around cards?
It is.
We complained about
moving to a magic band.
Yeah. Only for FastPass Plus, which my complaint still stands. I will say, though, as far as a general thing, so we mentioned before that Disneyland has, and I don't think has any plans to change from the legacy paper FastPass.
I don't think so.
Sam, you'll love, I think, I mean, whether or not you like FastPass Plus, you'll at least recognize and remember the benefit of the paper FastPasses. For us as early risers with a FastPass runner, et cetera, we rode probably 9 FastPass rides a day, easy. I mean, sometimes more. Just because it's the same. You have, for people who haven't, you know, maybe weren't Walt Disney World fans when they had paper FastPasses, you get one. As soon as your time starts or 2 hours later, you get another one, you get another one. There's multiple FastPass machines at Disneyland that aren't connected, so you can get Fast passes for Fantasmic or World of Color or Anna and Elsa or Olaf, and all of those are disconnected from the system, so you can hold 2 and 3 fast passes at a time. We actually have the benefit of utilizing Rider Swap because we have one little one still. So perfect. we rode a ton of rides, and I'm like, this is what it used to be like to go to Walt Disney World. We rode a ton. I mean, we rode everything. So that was pretty cool.
Do you go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say one park at a time. What were the – not everything has FastPass return there, correct?
No, and honestly, fewer things have FastPass than even Walt Disney World did. So, you know, Disney World added some for FastPass Plus. But even prior to that, unless I'm remembering incorrectly, I feel like Fantasyland had lots of rides with FastPass, right, at Walt Disney World?
It did.
At least a handful. I mean, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Each land maybe has only a couple, but it's your big lines other than Peter Pan, which actually doesn't have a very long line anytime that we were there. It's so strange. A lot of the same rides don't have the same kind of lines and turnout that we do at Walt Disney World. But
that's interesting.
So, but there's enough. I mean, Space Mountain and Splash Mountain. And honestly, the nighttime shows, the Matterhorn, though, has no fast.
You know what, though? That makes actually, now that you say that, I've never been, but now that you say that, it makes complete sense. Being a locals park, if you were a Florida resident and lived in Florida and went to the Magic Kingdom a couple times a week, how often would you ride Peter Pan?
Once, when you brought a new visitor when they changed the queue.
Sure.
Yep. That's it.
You know what I mean? So I mean,
you wouldn't get a fast pass because you want to see the queue.
Right. It makes complete sense that in California that ride's not ridden a lot because it's people that go there all the time. So you ride that
Dumbo
once.
I mean, Dumbo ended up getting a line because it has one thing instead of two. But like a lot of the rides that we expected to fill up really quickly did not. And rides like Jungle Cruise, which are a longer line now but didn't used to be, that line was always super long. So it's really interesting. But you kind of learned it relatively quickly. At least I think for those of us coming in with a good knowledge of Walt Disney World, it threw you off for a little while, but then you were familiar enough with the parks that you were able to say, okay, well, then we know that this ride is going to be long and this ride is still going to be long and we should go here first. You still sort of had that knowledge a little bit, which was helpful because the Touring Plans app was awesome for creating touring plans, but not very many people at all use lines there. So the wait times were generally inaccurate because it was like last reported yesterday. I'm like, oh, that's not helpful.
Yeah, that doesn't help. So Jimmy, touring plan sounds awesome at Disneyland. Don't the Disney nerds have a discount code?
We have an exclusive discount code with touringplans.com. And the discount code gets you 20% off, and it is 15NERDS.
At Disneyland and Disney World.
So NERDS. Is it? Now you're going to make me go look.
At Disneyland, it's already a cheaper thing. So I will have to say, like the Lines app, I was disappointed for a little bit.
So is it the same though? If you subscribe to touringplans.com, it gives you access to everything, right?
No, it's two different.
It's two separate subscriptions.
You do get a discount if you have both simultaneously. If you like, right now, I can my Walt Disney World has expired, but if I renew it, I get a like lesser price because it shows up as a lesser price because I can also add on Walt Disney World.
Well, make sure you use our discount code.
I did on the last one once I finally got it. I had to, nice. Like, it's not working, Jimmy. No, and it was definitely
because
worth
you had
it.
The wrong
so
one.
While you can't necessarily count on the Lines app, and that's truly just because of, I mean, the app worked well. It's just the way that it works. It wasn't that helpful. I noticed drastic changes in crowds when we used the touring plan that we had come up with versus not using it. So definitely still worth getting for sure.
All right. So, Jen, Disneyland. Tell us again the age of your children and their favorite ride at Disneyland this trip.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I have one quick question before that.
Go for it.
So what is Kyle's favorite ride at Disneyland or California Adventure? Either one.
Well, okay. Like, and if you're talking about you relating to this, this is going to be a good answer. Some of the best rides are things we don't have, like as far as unique. California Screamin' is a great roller coaster. It's not the best roller coaster you'll ever go on, but it's a good roller coaster, especially with the single riders line. One of our favorites, I think, Kyle, I would have to ask him specifically, but Jungle Cruise was amazing. Like it was, I remember it being somewhat different, but it was way better than the one in Florida. So,
all right, you got to expound on that just a little. You don't have to go into detail. This isn't a Jungle Cruise in detail show, but just a couple highlights of things that are.
Sure.
The piranhas. The piranhas. That's it.
Honestly, it's way more. So we have, yes, they're audio animatronics, and the elephants raise their trunks, and the rhino sort of pokes up at the guy to get it in the end, et cetera, et cetera. They have that, but there are multiple scenes we don't have. They're not exactly the same storyline. I mean, obviously, you're cruising along a jungle river.
Is it longer?
It is longer. There are extra scenes, and the animatronics are... They just do more, which then lends itself to some of the same jokes, but more jokes as well. Like it was, and of course, it's going to be skipper dependent, and ours was great. But it was just, I remembered, we talked a little bit before what this ride is better here, this ride is better there. Some of them are better in Florida, some are better in Disneyland. But I didn't remember Jungle Cruise being very different, but we both rode it and we were literally laughing out loud at things, which, I mean, we like Jungle Cruise a lot, but. It's not that it's new every time, but this felt really new. And we both were like, wow, that was so good.
Has it been redone in Disneyland? Because that was one of the opening. I mean, it was one of the opening attractions in Disneyland. So why would the animatronics be better?
And it wasn't that they were better necessarily. I mean, we saw Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and they've actually updated that really recently. And he takes this big sigh and you think you're looking at a real person. It wasn't that they were better. It was, so the piranhas, this is kind of a spoiler, but we're all grown-ups and you're not going to think they're real anyway. The piranhas, you can see these.
What?
So you mean they're not real piranhas?
Sorry, guys. So I should have put a spoiler alert on this one. But they have these like fish on a pole and it goes around in a circle and you see both of them. And it doesn't, but it's just more interactive. Like it's not that they're better audio animatronics.
You not only spoiled it, you ruined it when you said fish on a pole.
But they are. No, I don't know. It was good. I'm trying to remember. There's so many. There's probably 30 elephants in the elephant bathing pool. Like, it's just so much bigger. It was really impressive. So
different scale. We talked about scale earlier.
But this is the opposite way. Yeah.
Right. Different scale. It's on a different level. That makes sense.
It really was. And so, just as a quick, little recap, we talked about, I think, certainly some people are going to like some rides better than others. As far as I've read and heard and talked to people, the general consensus is that Splash is better in Florida. Pirates is better in California. So there are some that are definitely
different,
better in some places, but there are some that are just different. So the Seas with Nemo and Friends in Florida. I remember the first time we rode the subs, which is they use the 20,000 League subs for their Nemo ride, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I remembered it being the Nemo ride in a sub, but it's totally not. Like you're on a sub and you run into some danger and you have to get, it's really like a storyline that's very different than the Nemo ride at Disney World. So there are some things that maybe aren't better or worse that are just different. So it's really, really still so cool to go and see as, a regular to one park or the other to go to the opposite coast and see what they have to offer.
That's interesting though, because I would hope that it's better. And you know what? I like the Nemo ride in Epcot, but more just for the technology, and it's just kind of a cool little place to ride through.
Right.
But the story is complete. I mean, they're trying to find Nemo. I mean, it's kind of just not, there's really no storyline. It's kind of.
Well, and that's okay. So like
that's just designed for little kids, and it's
sort of like the Little Mermaid ride. And so the Little Mermaid ride on both coasts is identical, except we have a better queue.
Yeah.
It's literally the same ride. But in Nemo, these subs have special technology that allow us to go underwater and hear decode what the fish are saying. So that's kind of this whole,
that's cool.
Realistically, you're very realistically taking this submarine ride and listening in on the fish. And so it gives you more context, I think, than just a dark ride.
I'm a proponent of it. They need more of that. They took the story away from Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Yes, I love
that story. I think it took away from the ride a little bit. Not that I still don't Not that it's not fun to go on, and probably after, you know, a few years, the story gets lost on me a little bit. But for the little kids that are riding it for the first time, it's all about the story.
Absolutely, yeah. So the story was good. Well, and the same, so I'm looking through, we did Autopia as well. We're still in Tomorrowland at Disneyland, and Autopia was, I mean, it's the same ride as the Tomorrowland Speedway.
I was about to say, is it still the same big waste of space?
But it's not, no, because it's cool. Instead of riding around in a circle on an IndyCar track, in a non-IndyCar, you're in these like old-fashioned cars and you drive through the California highways. Like you're on this bumpy, it wasn't like a bridge, but some sort of bumpier terrain, not like test track bumpy terrain. It's still the same kind of ride. But you're on like a California highway at one point, and then you're driving through this little car park. They use a play on words. They have like a park that's got like fountains made of cars and benches made of, I mean, it's super cute. So there again, you're adding story to these rides that.
Does it give you whiplash?
Not as bad, and it doesn't smell as much like gas. I wonder if that's a California emissions thing. I meant to look that up.
Oh, I bet it
doesn't
is.
Those cars are so. I mean, it's been a while since I've done the Tomorrowland Speedway, but the cars are just like.
Nah, there's got to be some California emission thing.
A kid can't even drive those. A kid definitely. I can't even.
Elise hates driving them. She was mad at me. Yeah. I had Nolan in
it. She just bangs side to side to side.
And it rips your arm off as the wheel jerks you back on track. This was definitely more smooth. She was not. As upset about
I have trouble the Tomorrowland Speedway. I have trouble driving those without hitting that big center thing. So a kid, there's no way.
So that's a good. Great little ride. Sam, you had asked earlier my kids' ages and their favorites.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Disneyland specifically. How old are your kids? What's their favorite ride?
My girls will be 7 and 7 days. They keep telling everybody that today. So they're 7, and my son just
7 and 7 days.
7 and 7 days. By the time this airs, it'll be 7 and 4 or 5 days, but they're 7. And my son is just turned 3. He desperately wanted to ride Star Tours, and every single meal, I am stronger now. I have grown. Let's go ride Star Tours. And we're like, nope, still too
he's
short.
Not tall enough. he's not
even 36 inches because he doesn't grow. So he's not tall enough for anything, but definitely not for Star Tours. And that's all he wanted to do. So the girls, though, are actually tall enough for more at Disneyland than they are at Disney World, which has always been true. They just hit the 44-inch mark this year, or last year maybe, to ride Space Mountain in Disney World. But it's 40 inches at Disneyland, so they rode it 2.5 years ago, which is really interesting. So definitely if you're planning and have littler kids, check the height restrictions because they're vastly different from Walt Disney World. But they... loved Space Mountain. They like it in Florida. They like Soarin'. They loved it here as well. But we rode Space Mountain so many times, and it's a great ride. They have a great soundtrack, and the cars are a little different. And it was just, it's a great ride, and they absolutely loved it. So that was their favorite, easily.
Space Mountain. All right,
cool.
And it has fast passes and rider swap. And
I'm surprised like their choices aren't totally opposite.
They're really not. No, they are for some things, but not for
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm surprised like one's not like Space Mountain and the other one's like the Jungle Cruise or something.
No, and for every you're right, because for everything else, like art and track and, you know, like whatever their activities are, they are, but they're both thrill seekers, so they like the
That's cool.
Cool.
They desperately wanted to go to California Screamin' and were like a half inch too short and
So that was going to be my next question. So go across, let's park hop right across the causeway there at California Adventure. What was their favorite thing?
Well, that's a good point, because you definitely can park hop from one park to the other and back
and back and forth,
and you can hold fast passes
and grab
at
lunch
both.
At Downtown Disney on your way. There's tons of things you can do there you can't do in Florida.
Yes. So you can, we did not actually, just because the way that our plans worked out, we didn't hop back and forth, but you literally could get a fast pass for Radiator Springs Racers in California, which is their favorite ride. And then you can go ride some rides in Tomorrowland and Disneyland Park, and you can come back to, so you can go back and forth very easily. They loved Radiator Springs Racers. It was definitely one of their favorites. And Mickey's Fun Wheel, the swinging cars. They're all three of my kids.
The swinging ones? Yes. All right. My I don't think my daughter will ever get on those again.
Oh, my kids love them.
The swinging cars.
Did you guys ride California Screamin' this trip?
Yes. Yeah. And so we rode it single rider, and it takes about maybe 5 minutes, no matter what the line is.
Okay.
So that's an important, I mean, if there are a lot of families.
You said 5 minutes?
Oh, he's like
single
tops.
Rider. Five.
Yeah.
That's
it's
crazy.
So fast. It's a little confusing because you go in through the exit. There's like one little tiny single rider line, and it's the same as the exit. So I wandered up and there's nobody there. So I'm like, I think I'm trying to ride single rider. And they're like, you're in the right spot. So there was like nobody there. And then at one point they had you go, there's actually like, it's weird how it's set up. You have to go like up an elevator, across a bridge, and back down an elevator to get to the other side of the track. But literally, like, I didn't know I was in the right place because there was nobody else there and no signage. So there's, it's like this secret, but it's very much a single rider. Option.
So that said, I'm going to assume that one of the two of you were riding while the other one's either on King Triton's Carousel or Toy Story Mania, right? Killing time.
Yeah, they were at King Triton's Carousel because that's a 0-minute wait all the time. And like Hollywood Studios, Toy Story Mania is like a 400-minute wait all the time. Not really. I was exaggerating, but after Anna and Elsa were really in the 500s, I guess I better clarify. It was typically like an hour, hour and a half wait for Toy Story Mania. So
for Toy Story Mania, which has fast passes.
No.
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 Okay.
So that's a get there early for sure.
So grab your World of Color Fast Pass and head right to the Toy Story Mania line.
On the day that you want to go that side of the park, because the other one you have to get very early is the Radiator Springs Racers Fast Pass. Mm. That one still, despite Cars Land being however many years old now, 5, 7, I don't know, quite a few, it is still one of those rides that they have a queuing area for Radiator Springs Fast Passes. It's definitely like the mad rush, sort of like Toy Story Mania at Hollywood Studios. There's like a queuing area for the Fast Pass distribution, and it runs out by lunchtime. So,
wow.
If you want to ride those, it's definitely an early Fast Pass thing. But for us, we spent more than, I mean, it depends on how long you're going to be there. We spent more than one day. So one day we hit all the, you know, California Screamin', Toy Story Midway Mania on one side of the park early. And then the other day we hit Radiator Springs Racers and Mater's Junkyard Jamboree and all those Cars Land lines that fill up early first. So it depends how many days you're going to be there.
Wow.
But I would say, Sam, remind me, Cars Land wasn't there when you were there last, right?
It was not. I have never visited Cars Land. It
so
will
I would
be my
definitely
first time
make that your first day. Radiator Springs Racers yep. is such a cool ride. It's like test track, but you know how the Mine Train sort of combines that dark ride and roller coaster feel. Yeah. So this is like not so much a dark ride, but a story. So test track, you know, is literally just testing cars, and you ran into that truck that still scares the crap out of me. And, you know, when the semi comes and like honks at you, I still jump every time. But all of that interaction was all story. It was all like cruising through Radiator Springs, and you got new white wall tires, and there's all kinds of cool cars storyline stuff. So it was really very entertaining. And then the outdoor part of it, like test track, is as fun as test track, but way longer. So it's a really great ride. And Cars Land is just so beautiful.
I can't wait to walk into Cars Land.
I was actually at California Adventure, Sam, and I was going to text you because I was thinking that you hadn't been since it was expanded. And I don't know what you thought
I have
about
not.
It.
It was under construction when I was there last.
Did you enjoy California Adventure?
So when I was at California Adventure, Little Mermaid had just opened.
Okay, so there are a few rides. I know that, I mean, whatever, it's practically documented that it was sort of a flop and really small, and this expansion really changed the face of the park. And we've talked about that a lot with Hollywood Studios and sort of mirroring that trajectory. But I wouldn't have felt this way. I think California Adventure is easily all five of our favorite parks. Like, we loved being there. Now, again, we're not from California. So, yes, the boardwalk and the mountains and whatever else that's quote-unquote just California was still really really neat for us. Like, it's really cool to see the the airfield part and the outdoorsy, like
that's
Grizzly
right
Peak
they just redid Condor Flats over to the airfield.
Yeah, Grizzly Peak Airfield.
Grizzly Peak,
that's actually really beautiful theming. So they didn't really change it much except for the theming. So Condor Flats used to be sort of a USO based kind of airporty kind of land, mini land.
Right, and that's where Soarin' is for everybody listening.
Yeah. Pretty much only had Soarin', and Grizzly Peak had Grizzly River Run, which is sort of like Cali River Rapids, and it had this giant, I mean, one of the main icons of the park is this gigantic grizzly bear mountain, Grizzly Peak. And so it was really well themed, and then you have Condor Flat sort of stuck on the side. So they just sort of extended it, and it's really, really beautifully done. So between that and the Carthay Circle Theater is decked out in diamonds and blue banners for the Diamond Celebration. California Adventure is beautiful. It's such a great park. So
let me ask you a question. Did you and Kyle like ride the big, I don't know what they call it. Is it a Mickey wheel?
Oh, yes. So that's what we were talking about.
Fun wheel.
Did you guys hold hands?
Oh, no. We were holding our kids in the seats because they were flying all over the place. That's what I was going to clarify for you, Jimmy, when Sam said his daughter wouldn't go on. So you have Ferris wheels, right? And they sort of rock back and forth, and they're really sweet. And the outer circle of the one, the non-swinging wheels sort of do that. They rock a little back and forth, and you go around a big Ferris wheel twice. The swinging ones, if you look at a picture of it, you can see there's like these sort of flower petal tracks on the inside of the wheel, and they slide along those and swing like at 180 degrees back and forth. Like,
I didn't know
easily
that.
I
and there's,
just,
yeah. and there's no height limit.
Ferris wheel.
No height limit.
No.
No seatbelts.
No seatbelts. That's the best part.
It's
but you're
so
in a cage,
fun.
So you're not going to fall out, but you could definitely fall back and forth across the seat.
So
I certainly thought it was just a Ferris wheel.
And the outside of it is. No. So
and
I
the
have
outside
video,
part is.
I have video of my 3.5-year-old girls last time we were there, just like practically standing up on the seats because there's literally no rules, nothing. Like, and they were squealing and they loved it. And then I listened to a different Disney podcast and they were talking about it. And these adults were like, I will skydive again before I go on that thing. I love thrill rides, but I hate that thing. I mean, they were like talking about how awful it was. And I'm like, am I remembering this wrong? Like, are my kids going to hate it? And
can
we got on it and they loved it.
Can we get that video to put on in the show notes?
Yeah, I have video from both trips, so that'll be pretty funny. But
oh yeah, that's perfect.
It's hilarious. No seatbelts, no height, no. I mean, my kids are like moving back and forth, and we're pretty. I'm actually not like a super nervous parent, but like we make them sit down on roller coasters and stuff, you know.
Sure, right.
So,
right.
But, yeah, it sort of
no,
puts your seatbelt
like
on an airplane. Yes.
Yeah, they're like walking back and forth between the two sides of the cage, and
that's cool. Though.
It's a great.
So Jimmy,
ride.
Like this, Nick had found out that if he jumps at just the right time, he can go over 180 degrees.
That's
swings
awesome.
Back.
Yeah.
Which so, my wife did not like.
Go Nick. I like it.
It is like, it is hilarious that there's not more, you know, restraints on this ride. I don't think it needs them, but you know, in 2015, I'm surprised it even exists, but it's a great ride. So my kids love that. We did not hold hands. We were trying to hold our kids, you know,
okay.
still.
So
they have motion
sick.
They have motion sickness bags in the swinging car.
Well, that's
like,
funny.
Yeah,
nice. I'm thinking just Ferris wheel, and it's like this romantic little ride.
Yeah,
and,
no.
Apparently not. Apparently, it's a throw rod.
I took a picture because that cracked me up. I'm like, I do not remember them. There's like a sign: motion sickness bags, arrow, and then like a whole pocket of them, like on an airplane.
That's awesome. Get that to Sam too for the show notes.
There
that's
you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really great.
All right. So you mentioned the way that Carthay Circle was decked out for the 60th anniversary.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the castle.
Well, okay. The castle.
You made a cake out of it, Sam.
Is beautiful.
No, I don't think they'll ever make that mistake again.
I think they learned when they refunded all the weddings that year.
Right.
No, it's beautiful. But the thing is, so when the 50th happened, you know, they changed all the castles, decorated all the castles. And while some people hated it, and I love that it's back to Cinderella Castle is back to its normal look. I thought it was gorgeous during the 50th. So
yeah, they just had some subtle gold.
They had that
here and there.
Yeah, and they had that little emblem on the front of it. That,
but it was pretty different.
Okay.
I mean,
it was pretty. It was well done.
It was very well done. It was beautiful, but it was definitely different. So you had your outcries of, "Oh my gosh, they ruined my castle," and whatever. Right. Like it, you know, Disney community. That we love you all, but sometimes people freak out about stuff, right? So
because they made it a birthday cake for the 25th.
Well, that's true. But I mean. People forget that and like, oh my God,
I don't
put a little gold accent on it. Oh, they're freaking out right now because they're adding those
the extra turrets on the outside.
Turret. They're actually like the castle walls.
No, I'm kidding.
The thing for me, I haven't seen the castle in 3 years. And since then, it actually has reverted to like an older color scheme even. So, I mean, we're looking at the last time I saw the castle was kind of like two incarnations of it. And I remember it from pictures, and of course I know what it looks like and I could describe it to you, but not enough. So we walked in and I'm like, oh, it doesn't really look that different. And it does. When you get up closer, the top of the turrets are blue, and I don't think they were like quite as blue before. And they're definitely like sparkly, and there's some diamond like bunting, and pretty much everywhere has diamond D's and blue bunting and beautiful decorations. So the castle is gorgeous, but I honestly can't tell you how different it is, you know, because I didn't see it right before.
I was going to say, you were talking about how close up to it you were. I was going to say, I've never been, but from what I understand, you have to get pretty close up to it to see it at all.
Well, yeah, from the beginning of Main Street.
That was like a Disneyland. That was like a West Coast slam.
Right. At least they feel that way. But it's whatever. Even if I'm saying the castle is
awesome.
Gorgeous. I'm saying that it's gorgeous, and I love, you know, picturing the whole Walt throwing a fit because in the best way that the carousel wasn't seen exactly right through it. And I love that castle, but it is true. If you're at the beginning of Main Street and there are a lot of people on it, you cannot really see the castle. Like, it's really true.
That's
so
interesting.
Like I took pictures on my last day out because I ran in to get a couple souvenirs we had forgotten. And I came I came out and turned around to take a picture, and I have it posted, and we can post this as well. Like, you can sort of see the tops of the turrets above people, but you would, if you just glanced, you would see the sides of Main Street and the people well before you noticed the castle.
Not the same experience as
it's not. No.
Show opening, you know.
Right.
Main Street opening, walking around, hitting Main Street and seeing Cinderella Castle.
Well, and I'll tell you the most noticeable thing for me with that was if I had lost my bearings, which is actually somewhat easy to do because it's just familiar enough that you know as soon as I turn right out of this land, I'll get to this other land because the lands look familiar, but it's actually like reversed and there's extra land sticking. Like New Orleans Square is sort of like stuck off the side of Frontierland instead of next to it as Liberty Square is. So you're
right. Or when you're leaving Big Thunder to get the splash and it's nowhere near it.
Oh, like not even close. Yeah. So you're just familiar enough that you think you know where you're going and you get turned around. And before we'd pull out a map, I'd like look up and I'm like, I can't see the castle. Like that's where you get your bearings, right? If you're not familiar with Disney World, you can always look up, see that weenie, know where you're supposed to be, at least on the circle. And no, like I would stand there and I'm like, I think the castle is that direction. And you know, so it's just really interesting to not have that as a landmark, but
cool.
The Matterhorn is definitely your bigger landmark.
Yeah.
And even then, it's not necessarily, I think there's maybe more trees lining it or something. It's not as visible from the park throughout the park as Cinderella Castle is. So you kind of just have to get out your map more often than you do at home. So.
I don't think there's any part of Magic Kingdom that you cannot see the castle.
At least if you're looking for it. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to find.
So. I mean, right. It's well disguised in some areas, but I don't think there's any place unless maybe Adventureland.
Yeah.
Just because you're so close to the buildings that you can't really see over the tops of them.
Hey, the little orange bird flew back. Did you see that?
No.
He did.
The little orange bird is busy because there's a whole little orange bird section at the World of Disney in California. I'm like, what?
No kidding.
That's so weird.
Really?
That's
and they
cool.
have the Florida shot, I mean, toothpick holders or whatever they're called. They have the Florida shot glasses with a little orange bird. Like it says Florida on it. I'm like, and it wasn't like on clearance. It was just
We're gonna go with shot glasses.
Oh, I can't wait. I am getting some of those.
I took a picture. I'm like, why is he here? So I will say, you mentioned Adventureland. Adventureland at Disneyland, I don't know if this is normal. No matter what time we hit it, it was so packed. It was oppressive. Like the way it's set up is really kind of narrow and it feels very small, but it's so beautiful. I mean, I like Adventureland anyway, but because it's narrow and small, it definitely feels very exotic and very far away. So it's very cool to be there. That was really neat. But otherwise.
So you got to ride Indy Jones while you were there?
Well, Kyle did, and I sort of did. It breaks down a lot. So
what do you mean you? Oh,
I'll tell you.
I was about to say, what do you mean you sort of did?
I'll tell you. I rode it. I rode it at 1/4 speed with the lights on, after waiting an hour.
Oh, talk about an incredible video! Are you kidding me? 1/4 speed with the lights on.
See, Jennifer, me get completely disappointed by this, and Sam gets excited.
I know, right? I would have done that, except I was mad because we were supposed to be eating and I had a rider swap. So I was supposed to wait like no time. And I spent 25 minutes in the fast pass line, 35 minutes broken down on the ride. And then we crawled through it with the lights on. And I'm like, so we got to the end and they're like,
so
you guys want to go around again? So that was like their consolation. I'm like, I would love to, but I have 3 kids that are probably freaking out hungry. So you need to let me off. Like, so that was my ride. I've ridden it in the past. It's a good ride, but.
So how did Radiator Springs break down at all while you were there?
No, not that. I mean, maybe it did, but it was not like Indy was broken down. We noticed it broken down multiple times every day we were there.
Really?
So here's why I bring it up, because we know that Indy Jones in Disneyland is the same ride system as Dinosaur.
Yeah. Which I don't think breaks down that
often. But Indy Jones was installed first. Well, Indy Jones was installed first,
okay.
And the word is Disney learned from the mistakes and fixed it for Dinosaur. Right. And the flip side is true for Test Track versus Radiator Springs.
Yeah. Hey, you know who directed the pre-show for Dinosaur?
Oh, you know what? I do know, and I can't wait.
Reese.
That guy's awesome.
He is awesome.
He's very cool.
You know, I don't want to get off track.
Go back to show 87 and listen to that one.
So we mentioned Adventureland a bit. I have a quick on Tomorrowland, a couple of things that I loved that were different. First of all, we know the whole Universal other park down the street fiasco that keeps the Avengers out of California or out of Florida.
What are you talking about? We have a superhero store.
Yes. But like as giddy as my son was to meet Captain America and Thor, I might have been just as excited. They were
That's
so
awesome.
Cool. Like
That's
we waited
awesome.
In line twice for them because My son has this little.
Where were they? They're in Interventions.
They're across. They're supposed to be in Interventions, but Interventions is closed right now. So they're sort of across from it at this little meet and greet area. But that's gosh,
in like, Tomorrowland.
In Tomorrowland, yeah, sort of near Space Mountain, which is on the opposite side as our Space Mountain. But it, yeah, so it's not hard to miss. Like there's a like a big Avengers cube that they line up by, like two backdrops put against a wall. So, but it was so cool, and Captain America and Thor were there throughout the day, every day, like 10 to 7. And I think those are the only two that are around currently anyway. And my son loves Captain America and he spent a ton of time with him, and he like signed his shield and brought Thor over for a picture. And, but it was just so cool because it's the Avengers and they're like the real ones, of course. And they were so cool. I was very excited meet them.
That's cool. So they're cast very well.
Yes. At least that. Yeah. Yes. I'm pretty sure we met the real Captain America and the real Thor. Now, later on, I saw some people like imposters that were maybe not quite as good, but the real ones were there at 10 o'clock the day we met them, and they were awesome. Very cool. The other thing. So Star Wars weekend is going on at Walt Disney World.
Really?
And I have. Yeah. You know that this thing? Have you been there? But I don't know all the details, but fast passes and certain line times to meet certain characters and long waits to meet other characters. And because the character situation is a little different in Disneyland, they have actually 3 years ago, they didn't have any, what do they call them nicely? Character hosts. They didn't have them like at all. Characters would literally just wander like they used to. Many of them do have the character hosts now, like your Fab Five and some princesses will have people kind of forming a line. But Darth Maul just followed us around Tomorrowland for 5 minutes and like stared at my son. Oh, it was so cool. And they ended up like he signs autographs and they ended up he and Nolan were like having this little face off. And I'm like, this is great. Like, we can't get rid of him. And people are waiting hours to see him in Walt Disney World. So that was totally unique, too. But he is. Did you meet him? Did you meet Darth Maul, Sam?
I went to Darth Maul, but I did not wait in line to meet Darth Maul.
He's intense.
Yes, very much so.
His teeth and his horns and whatever. He doesn't talk. Like, he's super intense.
No, just stares.
Yeah.
A lot of staring.
And Nolan just stared back at him and was like, he was doing his little hand thing and Nolan was just doing it back, which is hilarious. But I was kind of scared of him. But so that's pretty cool. You still have some really neat character interaction that doesn't really happen so much anymore in Walt Disney World. So that was fun.
That is cool.
They also had Death Star balloons, which apparently are not at Star Wars weekend.
Death Star balloons?
What? They're amazing.
What?
Death Star balloons and Baymax balloons.
How can they not be at Star Wars weekends?
I posted one because they're these giant, you know how like the balloons at Disney World and Disneyland are like oversized. So there's these giant spherical balloons. They are Death Stars. So this mass of Death Stars like came over us during waiting for the Paint the Night parade. And I posted a picture and my friend was like, how are these not at the studios? I'm like, I don't know.
Yes. You know, it's funny as heck you say that because I took a picture of the balloon guy at Star Wars weekends holding the Anna and Elsa balloons.
And that's funny.
Specifically to get a shot. Right. Specifically to get a shot of the frozen balloon at Star Wars weekends so that I could send it to Ed.
No, this is Star Wars balloons at Disneyland and Baymax balloons, which were awesome.
Which are awesome.
Very cool.
It was very cool.
All right, Jen, here's my question for you. Nostalgic, Mr. Toad or Snow White?
We already know Jennifer hates Snow White. What are you talking about?
I don't hate Snow White. Okay, so
it's gonna be Mr. Toad, I promise. Right?
I prefer Snow White because I actually didn't ride Mr. Toad in Disney World. So I don't have that nostalgia factor. I do have, I mean, I do like that movie despite not liking the classics, even though I also like Snow White, Jimmy. Honestly, I can't really speak.
I didn't say you didn't like it. I just said you like it less than 63 other films.
That's not true. It's not true. I probably like it better than Ichabod and Mr. Toad, but
okay.
No, I do like both rides. The thing is for me, I don't know if it's that I'm more familiar with the rides at Walt Disney World. There are like four dark rides in Fantasyland that are terrifying for little kids. Like even my 7-year-olds and even us, like Pinocchio's Daring Adventures, Snow White's Scary Adventures, Mr. Toad, and honestly, even Roger Rabbit, they are scary. Like they're scary for little ones. So our experience is tainted a little bit because we had kids that were like,
they got Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
Roger Rabbit Cartoon Spin back in Mickey's Toontown, right?
Which is amazing. Toontown is so much fun.
But Jimmy, I don't know if you remember, Len sort of alluded that that could...
That might be going away, yeah.
My kids are devastated. We tried not to talk about that.
I'm going to switch gears, Jen. Dining reservations. Where did you go? What do I need to do? How many days were you there? What did you have for dining?
We did not make a lot of reservations. I don't feel like there's as many unique options. There's a lot of, and probably because of the whole locals, visitors thing we've talked about in previous shows, there are a lot more wonderful counter service options. Like even in the Magic Kingdom, there are some amazing counter service options like Bengal Barbecue, the Hungry Bear, the Plaza Inn.
I made three reservations and I want to hear what you did. And then I want to compare.
So in our previous trip, I think both times we've only eaten at two or three sit-down restaurants, again, because the counter service options are honestly just more appealing than the sit-down restaurants at Disneyland, except for Downtown Disney. There are some great options in Downtown Disney. We made
That's what's interesting. When you go online to Disneyland to book some dining and you select, most of the options are downtown, not in one of the parks.
Right. There's not a lot in the parks. So, well, I think, again, because if you have a local, Downtown Disney actually has a very like local outdoor shopping mall feel instead of waterside town like Disney Springs is going to have. It's very small, right. Very busy, tons and tons of live entertainment every day of the week. Like it's a very like hopping outdoor shopping place that I think has a ton of locals. So you're going to have all your restaurants that you have any suburb. I mean, maybe more unique ones, but still lots of restaurant options for anyone to eat. And in the parks, people go home for dinner. So in the past, we ate at Carthay Circle, which is awesome. It's good food, but it's also just beautiful. It's a very cool experience to be in there.
Okay.
And we ate at Ariel's Grotto in the past, which now doesn't have character dining at dinner and is a completely different menu that does not look nearly as appealing as the one we had 3 years ago. So we didn't go back there this time. I'm sure it's still good, but this trip we ate at, I will say though that Ariel's Grotto and Carthay Circle, as well as a couple of options in California Adventure and Disneyland, have Fantasmic and World of Color dining packages. And because of the limited viewing area for both of those compared to like our Fantasmic Theater, if you're going to eat at one of those restaurants, then it's worth getting a fast pass with the dining. If not, you can also go get a fast pass like early in the morning. So that's kind of a side note.
Okay. Of the three things I booked, I did book Carthay Circle with the World of Color.
I think that's a good choice. That's a very good choice.
Okay.
I don't think the dining package is worth it just to get the fast pass because we did not do one. And as long as you get a fast pass relatively early in the morning, you have equally good seats. Like we were front row for both of those shows without a dining package. So
nice.
You have to get there.
Did you wait long? How long did you wait?
Well, so you get a fast pass for each of those either through dining or through the fast pass machines. And they have a 1 hour return time, like 8 to 9, for example. If you get there at 8 and you pretty much, you still want to get, so each of them has like a colored section that you're sitting in, but the earlier you get there in that time, the farther front in your section you'll get there. So we got there 1 hour before.
There's really no seats, right?
Yeah, you sit on the ground. You sit on the ground.
Okay. Yeah. There's no seats. It's not like, because when we talk Fantasmic or World of Color, I think I immediately think of the theater where Fantasmic is at Hollywood Studios.
Right.
With a lot of benches, but it's not that. I mean, your Fast Pass is a place to stand.
Right? Yes. And in Rivers of America for Fantasmic, your Fast Pass return time for a 9 o'clock show is 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And if you line up at 7:55, they'll tell you to go away because there's actually a gathering of people nearby that are in the know, but there is no line before 8 o'clock because it's too busy. Like you're right in the streets there and they need that space for traffic flow. So we got there the 1 hour before when we were allowed getting there and we got great seats. So, the dining package, if you're already eating there, I think that's a great choice. Carthay Circle is a great choice. We ate at Catal in Downtown Disney.
Catal. Okay.
Which was highly recommended by some people and was pretty good, but not necessarily. Maybe it was our choices. We felt like it was overpriced for being a pretty good restaurant, so not great.
So I'll tell you one place that I did book because we absolutely loved it when we went there before, the Carnation Cafe.
We did not. Actually, I wanted to go there because I hear they have an amazing peanut butter and jelly soda, but I guess I thought it was a counter service. I didn't do a lot of research because in the past, we were able to pretty much walk up and eat wherever we wanted. I think with the Diamond Celebration, it's a little busier. Actually,
well, you were there early in the Diamond Celebration too. So all the locals that would be coming out, you were first or second week, right?
Right. There are actually some things like photo spots and things like that that are not open yet. Like they're still rolling things out between May 22nd and June 17th. So We're missing. We were there very early. So we're getting like, okay, Paint the Night, which I know we're still on dining, so we'll get there. But Paint the Night started at 8:50.
Okay, that the parade or the fireworks?
That's show? The nighttime parade now. It started at 8:50. There were people in line at 4:30 in the afternoon sitting in their spots 4.5 hours early. And that was apparently normal.
Wow.
Like, now that was not a ton of people, but that was like your hub. I mean, that's people like right on those great spots in Main Street. But for 2 hours and 10 minutes before the parade, we started to get a spot. There were no parade route seats left at 2 hours and 10 minutes before the parade started.
So there are three things that are specific to the 60th, correct? It's a parade, the fireworks, and World of Color.
Yes.
Completely redone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
all right. I don't want any spoilers.
Okay.
So you know,
well,
I don't
they,
want any spoilers.
Oh, no. Bring on the spoilers.
Because I'm going to be there in a month.
Okay. I think that, as you said, a lot of the locals, I mean, a lot of the cast members were still, I will say this is not a spoiler, but Disneyland Forever, make sure you try to see it early in your trip because the wind canceled it 3 out of 4 nights that we were looking for. Mm. So
very good advice. Thank you.
Yes. So make sure you try to see that early. Maybe you'll want to see it more than once. We did not necessarily want to see it again, but it was good that we tried early because it was canceled. There are a lot of cast members that have not yet found a seat for Paint the Night and have not seen Disneyland Forever from a very good vantage point because there are so many people. We actually, not only were we there with the locals, we were there right before the blackout dates began because in California, the passes are blacked out most of the summer. It was funny. So our crowd levels were 8 and 9 out of 10 for most of the time. And then in June, when the passes were blocked out, but schools weren't yet out for like a lot of the country, it went down to like 6 for the last day. So
oh, wow.
It was interesting.
It always figures the last day. Yeah, thanks.
Right. But the pass holders, or the locals, as you said, I think brought a lot of the crowds for those new 60th events. And they're all good. They're so good. Paint the Night is incredible. Like, it's incredible. It is so beautiful. And the technology is so cool. The music is great. You have to see that one. It's very good.
I will see it.
World of Color is very good. It's very, very different than the original because it's definitely more of a story and a history, which is very good. But it's the same kind of, you know, technology, so also very good. Disneyland Forever, I think, totally depends on what vantage point you get.
That's the fireworks, correct?
Yeah, fireworks plus projections all over everything.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so, but I think it completely depends on the vantage point because we watched it one night and were underwhelmed. It was a good show, but not as great as everyone has raved. And then we actually watched it. If you see Fantasmic, the first show, they put some of the projections on the Rivers of America, like they put those water screens back up because it's right, the Disneyland Forever is right after Fantasmic. So they put those water screens back up, do the projections on the screen, and do like an extra couple. You can see the high fireworks from the castle. You can't obviously see the castle, but you see the high fireworks over like to your right a little bit, kind of at like 2 o'clock on a clock. So not far away, but off in the distance some. But they also do some firework bursts right off the Rivers of America. So we actually,
that's cool.
It was not necessarily recommended to watch it after Fantasmic because there are a couple of elements that happen that you can only see from Small World or Main Street. But we honestly preferred the Fantasmic location for that show. So
absolutely. Did they change anything in Fantasmic for the 60th?
No.
Or was it the same?
No, okay. It was exactly the same. And have you seen it on the Rivers of America?
I have seen it, yes.
Okay, so you know. We had not. We did not. Last year or 2 years ago when we went, our kids were just too little to stay up very late. And we did California, or we did Disneyland at the beginning of our trip, so we were still like on the wrong time zone. And so we did not stay out late very much at all. So we chose World of Color over Fantasmic that trip. We saw everything this trip. And oh my gosh, for people who haven't seen it, the Fantasmic on Rivers of America, people say it's more intimate, which is kind of true, but it's thrilling because the dragon is like however many feet from you.
The dragon is night and day. It's night and day.
Well, and honestly, what was cooler, instead of the Pocahontas scene where they're climbing up the mountain, I knew they had Peter Pan and Captain Hook instead of Pocahontas just from like listening to the Disney Parks music. The gigantic sailing ship Columbia was like a foot from our face with these people swinging off the side of it. And it was so cool.
Let's kind of step back just a second for those of you that aren't aware. In Disneyland, Fantasmic stage is Tom Sawyer Island.
Yes.
So think of going to the Magic Kingdom and they close Tom Sawyer Island early and that transforms into the stage for Fantasmic. So everyone is standing around the walkway to watch Fantasmic on the island. Which is really cool.
And so Mickey, he does a lot of the same, you know, popping up in different places and lots of magic and the same kind of dream sequences. But he looks, you know, 5 feet tall. He doesn't look like this little dot that's half a mile.
Sure, because he's right there. You're as far away.
Yeah. So it's very cool. Awesome. I was excited about it, but I was not. It was even better than I thought. Like, that might have been one of the highlights of our trip. It was so incredible to be that close.
Did you get any package? I know they have a grab-and-go package, and they have a sit-down package of some sort. Did you
get
anything?
We did not. We tried. We actually tried to get Blue Bayou the 2 days before, because as I said, in the past, you could pretty much – we walked up before and got Ariel's Grotto Dining, which was like the Cinderella Castle at the time. Like, the very – that was like the hardest, most busy character dining, included like the package and all sorts of little souvenirs. And we walked up and sat there that time. So we did not really plan very well this time. And everything was booked except for Riverbell Terrace. And it's actually one of those, it's a quick service that it's not like Be Our Guest. It's like a great quick service that turns into a great table service in the evening. Like, it's planned that way. It's very much like it's a quick service. And then we're going to throw together a dining package for Fantasmic and make it a table service. So not, you know, it wasn't that great looking. So that was all that was available. So we just ended up doing the regular fast pass for that, which I said was, you know, we got there, Kyle went over there first thing in the morning. He didn't like run like you have to for Toy Story Mania. He just went there relatively quickly in the morning, and we got the first like viewing area or whatever. So
we've gone quite a while.
Yeah.
So
no, we haven't really. Have we been recording?
A bow on this. I was going to ask one final question for Jennifer, and you may have already covered, but that's okay. If you had to pick one highlight, one thing on this trip, what would be the one thing?
Gosh, that's a tricky question, Jimmy.
I know.
There's like 10 of them. No. I would say that
top Fantasmic.
10, go. Yeah, top 10. I could do that easily.
That's the Sam answer, by
Fantasmic,
the way.
I'm going to sneak a couple. I'm going to pull a Sam a little bit. But Fantasmic was definitely the most exciting thing we saw, which was interesting because I thought it would be something we don't have at home and something we... you know, that's new for the 60th or whatever. As great as Paint the Night was, Fantasmic that close was so cool. But I also just love, I mean, this is such a nerdy answer, and it's not even experience. I'm just looking back at our pictures, and the Storyteller statue, so good. The California Adventure with Walt first arriving with Mickey is, like, the partner statue was great, but I don't know. I have a soft spot for that statue. So I like literally mine.
You could go right up to it and get your picture taken.
So,
yeah. And I sort of like got choked up seeing it. And then the Storyteller Cafe, which sort of is not the same, but I'm totally throwing it in there. We had the most amazing character breakfast I've ever had anywhere with
Storyteller Cafe. Okay.
It's at the Grand California. And it was with Chip and Dale. It's Chip and Dale's critter friend. So we actually went there because sometimes you can see Brer Fox and Brer Bear, which we did not see, but we played with Kenai and Coda and Miko. Like, we were the only people in the restaurant for a while. So it was very, very cool.
If you would, I would appreciate maybe that picture of the Storyteller statue. I don't know that I've seen it, and maybe I have and didn't know that I've seen it.
I bet you haven't. I honestly, when I went 3 years ago, I was a Disney nerd, but I guess maybe having seen, you know, our friend Logan, we have had Logan Ciclo on a couple of times, but having seen As Dreamers Do and really read a lot of early Walt stuff, to see this picture of him like arriving to begin all of this stuff was super cool.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So for this week, I want to thank everybody for joining us. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of really good information that I had no idea. And it gives me that itch to maybe buy some plane tickets and do a trip to California. For this week, I think we're done. It was so awesome to hear about it, and I'm very excited to look at some pictures from your trip and kind of live vicariously through you and Kyle. Guys, listeners, friends of the show, if you think you would like to go down to Walt Disney World and show your Disney side, please check out our podcast page, the Disney Nerds Podcast on Facebook. We actually have some Disney Nerds Podcast t-shirts.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm very excited about those. You never know who you throw that t-shirt on and you go in the parks, and you never know who might stop you and give you a pen or a button or just maybe somebody else just from the Disney Nerds group that might just want to stop by and say hello. The t-shirts are $20. That's shipped to your door. Mark, who is from New City Shirts, is handling all of our orders. If you go find the post on the podcast page, it has all the information. $20 shipped to you. We also have window decals. Here's another cool thing. All of the proceeds that the Disney Nerds podcast makes, we're going to donate it to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It's all about, we didn't want to make it about money. We wanted to make them as cheap as possibly could, and then also help a charity, and then have the ability for people to go out in the parks with these t-shirts and show your Disney side. Show your Disney Nerds podcast pride. And definitely, if you're planning on making our meet October 2nd, if you need more information on the meet, it's in the event section of the page. If you're planning on making that, I would highly recommend a shirt. There's a few different colors. So please go find that. And if you're so inclined, please order a shirt. Get in touch with Mark. We appreciate you showing your pride in the Disney Nerds podcast. We appreciate you as listeners. If you need to email us, you can email us at questions@thedisneynerds.com, Jimmy@thedisneynerds.com. And Sam@thedisneynerds.com, Ed@thedisneynerds.com. Is it Jennifer or Jen?
Sam?
Jen. Jen@thedisneynerds.com. Please email us questions. We love to answer your questions on air. Just remember to include your name and where you're from so we can include that when we're talking. Thank you so much. This is Jimmy signing off. Have a good night.
See ya. Kongaloosh!
Compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.